Welcome to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We've got an interesting show today. Later, we're going to be talking about how the pandemic will affect the everyday experience of school when kids go back this fall. We'll also talk to an expert who's looked at food insecurity during the COVID-19 pandemic. And in a few moments, we're going to look at a surge in gun permit applications and gun sales this spring. But first, this morning, we're following another tragic shooting in Chicago in what's shaping up to be a particularly violent year. Last night, a 3-year-old girl was shot in the chest. It was an apparent retaliation for another shooting of a 15-year-old child a short time earlier. We're joined now by Catherine Rosenberg Douglas, who's covering this story for the Chicago Tribune. Kate, welcome back to the 21st.
Thanks for having me.
So what can you tell us about this latest shooting?
It's just the most recent in a string of just outrageous tragedies. So many children have been shot recently. This 3-year-old last night about 8 o'clock in I think the 7,000 block of South Damon was playing with some other children in the yard when she was shot, and she was hit directly in the chest. Her mother found her and she was rushed to the hospital. So she underwent emergency surgery to stop some internal bleeding, but fortunately it seems to have missed her heart. And this is all information I'm getting from Andrew Holmes, who's a community activist who is sitting with the family all night in the hospital. And they believe at this point that she's stable, and they think that she's going to make a full recovery after quite a bit of time and rehabilitation.
Wow. Well, that's great to hear. But I mean, as you said, this is part of a stretch of gun violence against children that has been going on for a few weeks now, right?
It really has. There have been just gun violence in general, not even particularly against children, has been really through the roof, off the charts lately. Seems like the 28 stretch that covered most of June has been one of the worst, and I think they've said the worst since 2012.
Kate, are you still there? Okay. As we are hoping to reestablish that connection with Kate Rosenberg Douglas, we've been talking about a string of shootings in Chicago. And in a moment, we plan to move on to talk about another story she had been working on recently about a surge in gun permit applications and gun sales this spring. While we're trying to reestablish that connection, I'd like to remind our listeners, you can follow along during the show at our Twitter page, which is at 21st show. That's at 21st show. We tweet some of the things the guests are talking about, stories they've referred to, stories they might be working on. You can also find links to past segments that might be relevant to what we're talking about now. So we're going to continue trying to reestablish this connection, hopefully continue this conversation, and we'll be back with you in just a moment. Okay, and we're back. This is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey, and we have been speaking with Kate Rosenberg Douglas, who's a reporter at the Chicago Tribune. And just before I want to get on to the other story we were having you on today to talk about, which is this surge in gun permit applications. But before we move on from the string of shootings involving children, I wonder if you can just talk briefly about what does the city say, what does the Chicago Police Department in particular say about what it's doing to respond to this?
You know, I might not be the best person to talk about that.
Sure.
Because I haven't specifically spoken with them on this aspect of more. I've been talking to family.
Okay. Well, fair enough. We'll continue to follow the reporting from you and your colleagues. Our listeners can find a link to your story at our Twitter page, which is at 21st Show. Let's talk about this other story. And this is the reason we wanted to have you on today. Last week, you published a story about a surge in gun permit applications and gun sales in Illinois, tied seemingly to the pandemic and particularly the George Floyd and police violence protests we saw earlier this month. And I should say your story was about the first 2 weeks of June. We wanted to have you on a little earlier to talk about this. Unfortunately, like many newspaper reporters, you were furloughed at the time, but we're glad to have you now. So I wonder if you can just start by talking about the big picture numbers you reported on. You looked at, again, the first half of June. What did you find in terms of gun permit applications there?
Yes, so you're right. This was the end of May to the beginning of June, and just a complete spike in gun permit applications. So in Illinois, as you know, you need a FOID card. That's a firearms identification ID, and that is the first step to be able to purchase a weapon legally and to have a weapon in your possession and to be able to buy ammunition. So those permits are going to be representing, new people who have not previously had them since the last 5 years or so that the state has. I'm thinking of concealed carry. FOID cards have been around longer than that. Sorry.
Sure.
In any case, this is 500%, 501% over the same period this time last year, and there's so many different things that go into those figures, but essentially what the end result has been is 42,000 new applications in just that period that we're talking about, just a few weeks. So, and they have had days where they've had more than 5,000 people seeking to get a permit. So those are numbers essentially unprecedented, not like nothing they've ever seen before.
Yeah, and I was fascinated. You reported that the in that sort of two or so plus week time span was not far off from the number of applications for a 3 month period at the end of last year and the beginning of this year. We also saw a tweet from somebody replying to one of your links to this story earlier that said, I've been waiting since April 15th for my FOID application to the process. So, I mean, you talked to some gun store owners about what this looks like for them. What are they seeing?
They are just doing their very best to keep up with demand. One of the main reasons for this, of course, is the coronavirus pandemic. And then that is also perpetuating some of the problems, right? So you have, obviously, and somebody put it to me this way while I was reporting it, you can't shoot a virus, but that doesn't seem to stop people. And that's joking, but it makes perfect sense. Anytime there is instability and, concern about just, our most basic protection of our families, anything that threatens that concerns people, and we see, everyone's heard about the toilet paper, right? Everyone going out and buying as much of it as they can, and it's like that doesn't, you don't see exactly what the logical, thought process is there. Why do you need all this toilet paper? But it's just a concern about the supply chain, and those concerns have been borne out because they are having supply chain issues, particularly as it pertains to bullets. A lot of them are not manufactured here, and they've been harder to get. So, it's one, a contributing factor to why people are so ready to buy a gun, and then it's also making things worse.
Yeah, well, let's come back to the ammunition point in a moment, but let's stay with this idea of exactly why people might be doing this. And I should remind listeners, this is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking with Kate Rosenberg Douglas, who's a reporter at the Chicago Tribune and has reported on a surge in gun permit applications and gun sales in Illinois, at least in the early part of June. You can join our conversation by giving us a call at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. And Kate, you talked to a DePaul University social work professor. I thought it was interesting what they had to say about this person has worked with victims of gun violence. What did he say was behind this trend in terms of, you know, the reasons that people choose to buy firearms?
I think you're speaking about Professor Noam Ostrander, and he's done a lot of work on, as you said, victims of gun violence and police brutality. And really, you know, he's saying that there are any number of reasons that these spikes in gun sales or permit applications would be normal and would be expected. Among them are presidential elections, which, of course, we're ramping toward at this point. So, you know, there was, most people understand, like with Barack Obama's election, there was a, you know, an increase. And that, you know, maybe seems more reasonable because they think, well, he's a Democrat and he's going to, you know, take our guns or those kinds of things. But it certainly they also spiked with the election of Donald Trump. So it's not tied to, you know, a political party being in power. It's and they were much less with Trump than they were with Obama, of course. But they, you know, it's any time there's what could be seen as instability or uncertainty or change. And I think Mr. Ostrander said that with Trump's election, there was a strong uptick in Black Americans purchasing firearms, and that was in response to some white supremacy rhetoric, you know. So that's one of the reasons, presidential elections, and of course the pandemic, and then all of the, you know, the Black Lives Matter and the shooting of George Floyd has really, you know, putting all of those things together, as well as the idea of defunding the police, which some people sort of misunderstand and think that means that there aren't going to be police departments anymore. Essentially, the idea is talking about redistributing the funding so that you attack root causes of things instead of sending in police to respond to that. But some people hear that and they think, you know, the response times are going to increase, or they just are more concerned than ever that there is not a protection in place other than taking things into their own hands and purchasing, you know, their first firearm.
Yeah, and I thought it was, and we've only got a few minutes left, but I thought it was interesting that, at least anecdotally, you talked to some people who thought that there was an uptick in particularly people who identify as, quote, liberal Democrats seeking firearms, perhaps for the first time.
Right. This is something that I heard from, you know, a lot of different people as I was reporting this out. David Lombardo, he's a concealed carry license instructor in near Aurora. Anyway, he said that he's had people, more than one, call and just, you know, overtly announce, look, I want to do this. I want to take a class, but do you have private classes? Can you do like one-on-one instruction? And he'll say, well, I guess, but that takes, you know, that's going to cost a lot more. Oh, I don't care. I just want to make sure that my friends, nobody knows that I'm doing this. And so what he's getting from people is this idea that they don't want, you know, that everything that they identify with and the circle and the friends that they keep, you know, would find this out of character or, you know, at odds with their other beliefs. So that's been really interesting. And some of the professors I've spoken with and the gun store owners, I should mention, also have said the same thing, that they're hearing stories from people who are just like, you know, this isn't necessarily in my political, you know, viewpoint, but I'm finally ready. XYZ, whatever it was, you know, pushed me to this point. And the professors are saying that makes sense to them. They're saying that, that's something that can happen when essentially, you know, when these major life things, they feel like people are being threatened and they feel like this is the only choice that they have.
Yeah. And when we've only got about a minute left, so maybe in just, and there's so much more to this story that's worth reading. And again, we'll tweet out a link to it at 21st Show. I would recommend people go read the whole thing because there's interesting points about the type of ammunition that's being purchased, hollow point versus target rounds, which suggests to some store owners that these are people more interested in self-defense than target practice. But you also, I just want to kind of wrap up on this idea that, you know, there are some concerns that people have about this uptick in gun ownership, particularly when you have amateurs maybe becoming gun owners for the first time. And maybe just in a few sentences, I wonder if you can talk about what the concern is there.
Right. Certainly, these are people who, again, their viewpoint may not have been to purchase a gun. And so that would suggest that maybe they haven't been around them, don't have hands-on training. And the concern is just that people are afraid and they're buying guns, but they don't know how to use them. And this is from the gun owners, from the professors. Everyone I spoke with on some level mentioned training, and the training classes that all these stores are offering are filling up because of size restrictions, because of coronavirus. And they're also worried that people are not getting the training that they should have.
Yeah, and you had a statistic in there that first-time gun owners are 8 times more likely to accidentally shoot themselves than those in gun-free homes. And I'm afraid we're going to have to leave it there. Catherine Rosenberg Douglas is a reporter with the Chicago Tribune. Again, we'll have a link to her story on our website, 21stshow.org, and on our Twitter page. Kate, thanks so much for speaking with me this morning.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
We're going to be talking about K-12 education, schools in an age of pandemic. What's it going to look like when the kids go back this fall? That's just after a break. This is the 21st. Stay with us.